On the cover of Parade magazine a few years back, there was this article called Stress Busters. Kind of just resonated with the name. But anyway, it read this way. It said, stress is taking a terrible toll on the nation's health and economy today. More than 66% of all visits to physicians, that's two-thirds of all the people that visit the physicians, are for stress-related disorders. Job stress costs American industry more than $200 billion a year in absenteeism, lost productivity, accidents, and medical insurance. Every week, 112 million people, and I was trying to think, how many people live in America? It's like 300 and something million, is that right? Maybe it's more now. So one out of every three, or one out of maybe every four if it's expanded. Every week, 112 million people take medication for stress-related symptoms. So I was just wondering this morning, does anybody know anybody who's stressed out, worried, anxious, or fearful today? Any know anybody like that? Are you that person that you're thinking of right now, right? We all get this to different levels, right? And it makes sense. I mean, we live in one of the most stressful cities in America. It's one of the top 10 for stress-related incidents all across the country today. It's crazy. But see, I came up with a quiz, though, just to see how experienced you guys might be in this area. I mean, you all have friends, right, that are stressing. I just wondered if this applied to you at all. So see if you can complete any of these sentences. I'm ready to throw in the... I'm at the end of my, I'm just a bundle of, my life is falling, I'm at wits, I'm about to come, nice, that was the hard one, I feel like residing from the human, you guys are all experts. Again, Phoenix is one of the capitals of stress in America today, and it's really been amazing over the years, all the different things that I've watched people do to try to handle their worry and their stress and their fear. It's just nuts. I encourage them all to go to the Lord, you know, in prayer, but they've tried fear therapy and fads and diets and cults. I mean, seriously, one person went to their fortune teller to help ally some of the stresses they were having in life, and then when they didn't come true, they got more stressed because now their fortune teller couldn't be counted on. I mean, what is this world coming to? Anyway, but as crazy as it is, and the crazy things that are out there that people try to do to, I don't know, fix their stress, chances are you probably know somebody who's done it. I mean, one out of three, one out of four people in America. So it's not surprising as we go to God's Word that the Bible has a completely different way of dealing with stress than our world does. In fact, in John 14, 27, Jesus says this, I leave my peace with you, peace. I give you my own peace, and my gift is nothing like the peace of the world. So don't be distressed, that's another word for stress, and don't be daunted. He's saying a couple of things here that I just think are important. So one of the first things that I just want to give you this morning is that first and foremost, peace is a gift. It's God's gift to us. God's peace that he gives is a gift that he gives to all those who trust him. Peace always comes from trusting our God. Peace of mind, then, is not something that you work for, you earn, you buy, you learn, you search for. It's something that God gives us when we trust him. It's tangible, it's real, and it's kind of blows us away when we first experience it. And God's peace of mind is totally different from the world's peace of mind. It's not so fragile. The world's peace is so fragile. I mean, think about the last peaceful place that you'd been. Maybe it was you're by yourself in the house and everything's at peace. There's no noise. You're finally just sitting down in that easy chair and you're like, ah, this is great. And all of a sudden the phone rings or somebody walks in the door or, I don't know, an alarm goes off. And all of a sudden that peace that you had is interrupted and you're no longer at peace. Thought this was interesting. Did you know over the last 3,500 years, we've only had 286 years of peace, actual peace, where there's no wars and no conflicts going on in our world? That includes today, right? I mean, we're at war even today in Ukraine. In fact, did you know, we just have so much peace, we just have not had very much peace in this world today, because when the world looks at peace, it's always by the external measures, right? If everything externally is right, then we can have peace. Based on the circumstances in our life. If everything's okay, we have peace. If everything's not okay, if things aren't going according to plan, if there's chaos in our life at all, then we can't be at peace. But the Bible continually says all the way through its pages that peace is an internal thing. In other words, it's a gift that comes from God, something he does on the inside. And so today I want to take a look at, you know, for your friends, but also maybe for some of you, right, that struggle with the stress or the worry or the fear or the anxiousness. How does God heal that? How does God take that feeling and replace it with peace? Peace as you're going to the doctor's office. Peace as you're dealing with stuff at work. Peace as you're dealing with I don't know, family issues or relational issues. Peace as you watch in the news, right? How do we get peace that actually makes a difference, that actually is something that changes the dynamic or changes us? And God gives us three things this morning to talk about. And as we go through each one, it's going to hit one of the three top things that cause stress in our lives in America today. So the first one is this. I'm going to sound a little funny at the beginning, but it's the number one reason people get stressed. And the first thing is receive God's pardon. Romans 5:1, it says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The deal is we were made to live in harmony with God. God knit us together in our mother's womb right from the very beginning. He knows how we're made because he made us. And he put a God-shaped backing in the inside, and he says, you need to fill it with me to be at peace, to be centered, to have life make any kind of sense. When you're out of harmony with God, it's always going to cause stress. We call it sin. When you're out of harmony with God, sin always causes negative consequences, complications in our life. It messes things up. It's the reasons we stress about so many things. There's sin in this world. And this is the greatest source of stress in your life. When you're out of harmony with God, nothing really clicks. I've talked to so many people, say, Pastor, I've just been looking. There's like this hole in the inside, and I'm trying to fill it. I just can't seem to fill it with anything. Nothing seems to really work. When the vertical and the horizontal are out of order, your life's a mess. It's just the way it is. And so the Bible says to experience peace, you first need to accept God's pardon. Why? Because the number one source of stress in America today, psychologists will tell us, is guilt. When you're not in harmony with God, when you're pursuing your own ends, when you're pursuing your own ideas, when you're pursuing your own passions, when you're hurt by other people that are doing those things, that's when you experience the pain, and the hardship, and the difficulty, and the frustration. Why? Because is anybody perfect? No, I wish there was, but we all make mistakes. I don't live up to my own standards, much less God most of the time. And because we all make mistakes, we all feel guilty, which is kind of a funny thing that this is the number one reason that causes stress in our world today, because we're told over and over and over through everything that we watch in our culture that there's almost nothing that you can do that's actually wrong anymore, that's sinful, that's, you know, not moral, because we don't really believe in morals anymore. I was just reading this article. I guess they've been taking this study now for 20, 25 years, and this is the lowest confidence in morality our country has ever had of itself. Back in 2008, 2009, I guess was the previous low. Hey, we just passed it. We're number one again, right, in low confidence in our morality. Truth is, we all make mistakes, and we do feel guilty, and this causes all kinds of stress in our life. The Bible says then we need to accept God's pardon. Paul says, we are saved, we are justified by grace through faith. It's because of Jesus, right, that we have this opportunity to get right with God. It's because of Jesus that we can go to him and have our sins forgiven. And when you look at that word justified, what does it actually mean? I think an easy way to think of it, and there's other definitions for it, but I always think this is the cool one, right? Justified means just as if I'd never sinned. God wipes our slate clean. He wipes the whiteboard clean. Even if there was no such thing as heaven, and there absolutely is, I think it'd be worth it to become a Christian just to experience God's forgiveness, just to experience that clear conscience, just to experience actual peace. So a few years ago, and just so you guys know, I'm a control enthusiast, and I try to control everything from my backyard. Apparently, it doesn't work. So I get frustrated, and I do get stressed and anxious and stuff like that, and I've just developed a couple things over the years that actually work, and one is giving it to God. But a couple years ago, I was trying to give it to God, and it just wasn't working. God, take it, take it, take it. And I guess I just kept taking it back. And I thought, you know, I just need to go back to the beginning, and I just started confessing. I started going through the Ten Commandments, and man, there's so much there if you really take it seriously. And I just kept confessing. And it, by the way, what is worry, stress, and anxiety? It's all sin, right? It's not trusting God in those moments. It's an absence of trust, absence of faith. So I just started confessing everything. And as I did, I just felt the load that I was carrying get lighter and lighter and lighter. And I started experiencing more and more of that tangible peace. And he just said, I forgive you, and I've got you, and I'm with you. And all of a sudden, all that stress, all that controlling I was trying to do, all that fear, all that anxiety, just took it away. And I know we don't take this confession thing as seriously as maybe we ought. I mean, I won't even ask the question, but I think for a lot of people, the only time they confess their sins is when they come to church, and I only give you, like, what, 10 seconds to do it, so you got to kind of hit the top one, and then I'll get the rest of the next week or whatever, right? I don't know how you do it, but But stress is an amazing stressor. And I don't think we realize how much of the stuff that we carry around with us all the time. And so the shorter accounts that you can keep with God, the more you can get rid of that stuff. It does make a difference, I promise you. Because why? Because guilt causes stress. And the problem is that even Christians who know that they're forgiven often don't feel forgiven, because often the people who know they're forgiven sometimes don't receive it. Ask yourself this question: have you ever prayed for forgiveness more than once for something that you've done? Why did you pray it the second time? Did God not hear you the first time? Did you not trust that He forgave you the first time? Because we struggle to receive that forgiveness. We just do. Dr. Wesley Weatherhead said that forgiveness of God is the most powerful therapeutic idea in the world. If a person would believe and trust that God has forgiven him or her, he or she could be saved from neuroticism. So, not just heaven, but now neuroticism too, Jesus saves, right? Which, if you look around our culture today, would be huge. Harvard University just came out with a study, and they said, it turns out there's been a loss in all these people walking away from the church. Call it church instead of God, but they've noticed too that a huge amount of people have stopped going to church, and as a result, it says it's cost us the ability to cope in America. And he even said, I think psychology for so long undersold the power that happened to church, the power of God, but it obviously makes a difference, because we can't replicate what they had been doing for years and years and years, giving people the strength to get through situations. And doesn't that make sense? If you know that God forgives, you can release your past and find peace. That makes a difference as you're coping with life. If you know God is able and can give you the strength to overcome anything, that gives you strength and peace as you're dealing with any hardship. If you believe that God is working all things behind the scenes for your good and His glory, that gives you the power and the ability and even the strength to keep on going. It gives you the ability to cope. And when you lose God, you lose all of that. It's one of the reasons our world is struggling like it is. In Micah 7:18, it says, who is God like you, who pardons sins and forgives, who delights to show mercy? God is sharing here that He actually is eager to forgive your sins, to wipe your slate clean. He's willing. He's ready to clean your conscience. And why is this so important? Because again, there is no peace of mind without a clear conscience. The word pardon means to release from punishment. It means to be forgiven, to be released from the crime that you've committed. I read recently about a man who committed a crime 30 years ago, kept it secret. Finally, he confessed it, made restitution just recently, and he was quoted as saying this. He said, I had been living in a personal hell for 30 years. 30 years because of what I had done. Been living with that guilt, manipulated by that guilt for 30 years. We could stop with that, and then we start comparing that to think and all the things that God offers, and He offers you blanket coverage for your forgiveness, where you can get rid of it, for every single thing that you've ever done wrong. If you could receive that honestly, don't you think that would promote peace? These people that you know that stress, is any of it about the past? Do you beat yourself up from stuff that you did or said yesterday? Over and over and over? Think you're not worth it or deserve certain things because of stuff that you did yesterday? Do you see how that messes up your future? Do you see that it complicates every relationship that you try to have moving forward? Do you see how that holds you in bondage? God says you can be forgiven for that stuff, released from that stuff, freed from that stuff. And so settle this issue. He says God wants to forgive you. He wants to wipe the whole slate clean. He wants to forgive your past. He wants to give you a do-over. I love that imagery. I played a lot of kickball when I was little. I love the imagery of a do-over, especially if you didn't hit it right, you know? But that allows us this wonderful way of to get rid of the guilt of the past and all the stress that goes along with it. The one thing that should mark Christians is that we don't beat ourselves up for the past because of what Jesus did. That's not true. Everybody in here struggles with that. But it should be one of the things that we can hold to, one of the tangible experiences of peace, that freedom that we experience daily because of what Christ done. That's why you hear me say, I think one of the healthiest things we could do is confess 10 sins a day. I mean, you might have more, right? But it helps you unload. It helps remind you of the forgiveness you have in Christ. You want to experience peace? He gives us another one. Recognize God's presence. Realize that he's with you all the time. Focus on him. One of the coolest parts about church, I think, is that it's a place that helps us remember. I was talking to a gal. She just turned 39 for the second time, you know, and she's a little bit older in life. I said, just think how smart you are. Another year older. And she goes, man, if I could just remember. That resonated with me. If I could remember, I could help my kids with their math. That would be awesome. I cannot. Last week I shared with you, we forget 90% of everything we hear within 72 hours. So by Wednesday, we are masters at forgetting stuff. I don't know what happens Monday through Saturday, but we get all confused. We lose sight of the important things. We forget about God. We're trying to do everything by ourselves. We get stressed. We get worried. It's because we forget. We forget that God's with us. We forget that we're not facing everything by ourselves, which is one of the second biggest things that cause stress in this world. If you don't believe that, ask anybody who's a widow. They've had a partner for X amount of years, and they just lost that person, and now they're trying to figure out everything by themselves, and it's freaking them out. And if they don't have kids to help or friends to help, it's almost overwhelming. Kids leaving the house for the first time, fighting and adulting, right, for the first time. They don't have parents in the area or friends, again, that can help. Can be almost incapacitating. And you look at this younger generation trying to figure out how to do things that former generations just took for granted. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you, God, will keep those in perfect peace whose minds are steadfast on you. And Romans 8:6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. In other words, it's determined always what you focus on. So if I could learn anything today, it's this. Make your first response to every crisis, Lord, I realize that you're here with me right now. You're here with me at the doctor's office as I'm hearing this news. You're here with me at work as I'm dealing with a dunderhead boss. You're here with me as I'm trying to reconcile this relationship. You're here with me as I'm freaking out about my kids. You're here with me as I'm watching the news and I feel so helpless. You're right next to me. I'm not alone facing anything. You're right by my side. And if you can embrace that and trust that, it will reduce your stress level powerfully. Because the reality is you're not facing anything by yourself. God is with you. In Psalm 46, verse 1, and then again in verse 10, it says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. So be still and know that I am God. The background of this verse is really pretty powerful. There's 180,000 troops outside of Jerusalem. They've already threatened to destroy them. Tomorrow is the day. They're going in. They're going to beat down the walls. They're going to kill everybody in Jerusalem. That's what war was back in the day. Unless you were a woman or a child, you were just destroyed. You were killed. They're praying to the Lord. Lord, help. And through Isaiah, God answers. And he says, I got this. Don't worry about it. Just trust me. Put yourself in Jerusalem, 180,000 Assyrians outside. You're going to die tomorrow. You're pretty sure. You pray to the Lord and he says, I've got this. Does it give you peace yet? I've got this. Should give you peace if God says that. So they stood by the walls and they just trusted the Lord. And the next morning they woke up and they looked out and all 180,000 warriors were dead. God sent a plague or something in the middle of the night, took away their breath. But he eliminated that threat overnight. Because why? Because he's able. God says, don't worry. I am your ever-present help. There is nothing, literally nothing impossible for me. I am always present with you. You need to recognize, you need to trust that I got this, that I'm with you. Notice again, it says, be still and know. In Hebrew, be still means to let go and ease up. Pascal once said, all of man's problems come from this inability to sit still. And I think that's true. The more hurried you are, the more worried you are. In fact, if there's anything I could do for you this week, it's slow down and just spend some quiet time with God every day. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, just to recenter yourself, just to re-remember his promises, just to re-remember that he's there. Most people are so busy they couldn't hear God speak to them if God wanted to. So the first thing we've got to do is to learn to be still like you guys are right now. You're actually listening to a sermon. Hopefully God's speaking through it and doing something. Then God says, and know. Know in the Greek is the word that means the most intimate kind of knowledge. So it's not so much knowing about, but it's trusting. It's knowing the person intimately. And that's what God wants. He wants a relationship with you. You can know the facts about God. You can know all of Scripture. Satan does for sure. But he doesn't really know God in the sense that he doesn't trust God. He doesn't trust that God is good. He doesn't trust that he's working all things for the good of those who love him.
So God says, I want a relationship with you. I want you to trust me. I mean, think about the relationships where you have trust. Isn't there peace? Think about the relationships where you don't trust them in an area. Is there peace? No. There's suspicion. There's worry. There's anxiety. There's fear. He wants to have a relationship with you. But in that knowing, that trusting, right, that's where comfort and peace comes from. God says, be still and know that I am God. And then he gives us this last one, and again, it's a remedy for the stress and the worry and anxiety of our life, and it's this: I must trust God's plan. So the whole series is what? When things don't go according to plan. Usually it's our plan. You got to trust God's plan. I must trust God even when I don't understand why things are happening the way they are. Is that hard? Brutally hard. That's the in-between. It's no fun at all. Even when things don't make sense at all, even when we're scared out of our minds, we trust God to find that peace. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. There's a couple of verbs in the sentences that I want you to note. The first one is trust. And the second one is don't lean. First it says, trust in the Lord with all your hearts. That means depend upon him. He is able. Depend upon him. He's promised to work all things for your good and his glory. Depend upon him. He's doing something in the midst of this yuck. Even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's terrifying, even when it's hard. Why did I get fired today? I don't know. Why am I hearing the words that I just got cancer? Why am I struggling to make ends meet? Trust the Lord, even when things are out of your control, because they're still in his control. If God can take away the breath or send a plague on 180,000 soldiers and eliminate the threat overnight, there's nothing really he can't do, considering he created the earth and split the Red Sea and on and on and on. It says, don't lean on your own understanding, which is what I love to do in my backyard. Lean on my own understanding, and it's when I get all freaked out. This is the number one reason even Christians don't have peace of mind, to be honest. Trying to figure everything out. Fact of life is that there's many, if not most, things in life that you'll never understand. There are things that you're going to ask questions that aren't going to be answered. The most common, natural, normal response, reaction to an illness, to a crisis, to a loss, to the death of a loved one, is the question, why? Why in the world did you do this, God? I don't get it. Why in the world are we going this direction? I don't understand. Why in the world is this happening? And we get frustrated, and we get scared, and we get terrified in those moments. What do you do with the whys of life? And the thing is, you go to Scripture, and God doesn't promise an explanation for everything. He's God. He doesn't actually owe us an explanation. If you understood it all, you'd be God, though. That would be pretty cool, I guess. You could see everything coming down the road. You'd know everything, every scenario, all the behind-the-scenes information. You would understand politics in a whole different way. You'd understand your family in a whole different way. I mean, you know everything. God also has the power, though, more than the knowledge, to work all things for his good, for our good and his glory. See, the cool thing is you don't have to know everything because God does. I mean, God does. But what you do have to do is trust. The testimony that I hear over and over from people that are going through a crisis or in a situation or just experienced a loss in some way is that when I finally stopped trying to figure out the why and I just started trusting God, all of a sudden I had peace of mind. That's when this peace of mind floods my heart. See, God is way more interested in comforting you than he is in always explaining everything to you. Some things you're just never going to figure out in this side of heaven. It's okay. That's why he says, lean not on your own understanding. One of the things I'm slowly learning, and again, I am so thick-headed on this stuff, okay? So I get it, how hard this is. But one of the things I've been growing in is I don't have to understand all the whys and the whens and the wheres of what God is doing. I just need to trust him. And when I trust him, I experience that peace. Because I know he loves me. And I know he's working, again, for his glory and my good. I know he's with me every step of the way. I know he wants me in heaven. I know he loves me more than I can comprehend. Jesus once said it like this, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. See, the antidote to stress and this feelings that we have, right, is not a feelings and it's not a circumstance, but it's a person. It's Jesus. Reality is you're never going to find ultimate peace in your life until the Prince of Peace is invited in to become the resident president of your life, right? He needs to be the first one. He needs to be the one you're leaning on. He needs to be the one that you're depending on. He needs to be the one you're looking to. He needs to be the one that's leading you through these hard times. And when the Prince of Peace becomes the resident president of your life, it affects your lifestyle. And you just don't experience the stress like you are anymore. You don't experience it at the same level. Why? Because you realize maybe finally that God's actually with me and he's able and he loves me. You know, often in the middle of the storms, think hurricane, there's a center that's just totally at peace. You know, it could be all chaos around you, but you could be rowing a little rowing boat in the middle and it's like awesome, right? Well, everything else is blown apart, there's peace. God says you can have that kind of peace in your life, even when everything else is a mess. It's available, but it starts by running to him, right? God, I want to start recognizing your presence on a day-to-day, moment-to-moment basis. Please remind me that you're here. Please remind me that I'm not by myself, that you're with me. And then, Lord, help me obey your principles. I know that you're leading me in the right direction. Let me trust those things and follow you. Actually, get me into the word so that I don't forget during the week how much you love me, that I don't forget that you're working, that I don't forget that you're there. Help me spend time in quiet every single day. And through those promises, help me trust your plan more, even when I don't understand, even when it doesn't make any sense. My commitment to you, Lord, is I'm going to quit trying to figure everything out. And I'm going to confess that multiple times before I get it right. I'm going to start trusting in you and lean not on my own understanding. And then I'm going to ask for your provision. And when I have a need, instead of panicking, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start going to you first. And as I do that, Lord, I pray for your peace. I promise you, if you run to the Lord with that and you start trusting his promises in that way, not only will he forgive and renew, he'll grant you his peace. And it's not the fake peace of the world that can be taken away. It's God's peace, his gift to you to restabilize you, to recenter you, to refocus you, to get your mind clear so you can keep walking the walk. Following his call, finding the strength and the power and the ability to keep bearing up under the circumstance. Because you have a God that's real and who loves you and who will always come through. And that's my encouragement today, and so go with that and let us pray to our Lord. God, we love you so much and we thank you for Jesus. I mean, you're so amazing. You continue to shout out to us your promises. You continue to shout out your truths, Lord, to us. I've got you, you shout. I've forgiven you, you shout. I'm with you, you shout. Nothing is impossible for me, you declare. Father, as we go through life, I don't know why we forget all those things, but we do. And so, Lord, cause us to slow down enough to re-remember. I mean, put that Bible in front of us or bring those things to us as we pray to you during the week. Shout out to us on Sunday that we can celebrate those truths, but let us trust them enough to apply them during the week so that we don't get so overcome. Father, you are the God that is the God of the possible. So we pray today, replace our stress, our worry, our concern, our fatigue, our anxiety, and replace it all with your peace. And pray that today in Jesus' name.